is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
A new poll about Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is a surprise to me. I read from the Reuters. Americans' confidence in Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's economic stewardship has skidded to the lowest of any recent U.S. central bank head, according to a Gallup poll. Just 36% of respondents to a Gallup poll last month said they either had a great deal or fair amount of confidence in Powell. This is the lowest of any Fed chair since Gallup began the annual survey in 2001, when Alan Greenspan was in charge. The previous low was 37% for Janet Yellen, now Treasury Secretary, during her first year as the central bank leader. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes the political economics column. And Joe's new column carefully anticipates this poll, though I do not believe that was Joe's intention when he started out, because the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell in particular are much in question these days for, one, waiting so long to deal with inflation following the pandemic, and two, accelerating bank rate rises right into what appears to be an on-again, off-again banking crisis. Joe, a very good evening to you. Jerome Powell is unpopular. I take that. Is that significance for a central banker? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, there's one sense in which this unpopularity is actually a sign that the system is working. Because remember, one of the reasons that we set up independent central banks and insulate them from political pressure. So, I mean, this opinion poll in a practical sense is meaningless because there's not an easy mechanism for depriving Chairman Jerome Powell of his job, and he doesn't have to run for re-election or anything of the sort. And the specific reason for that is to empower the Fed to undertake policies that might be unpopular for pursuit of a longer-term goal. And so they would say that that is what they are doing right now. You know, in the words of one famous former Fed chairman, they're taking away the punch bowl just as the party had been getting good by tightening money in order to tamp down on inflation, even at the cost of some risk to the health of the economy or even the possibility that we might have a recession later this year. So if you look at it only through that lens, the fact that Powell is unpopular right now and yet no one seriously thinks that his job is in jeopardy is actually a sign that the system is working as intended. But I would just add one caveat to that, which is that he could probably do himself a favor. And there is a sense in which I think this poll legitimately reflects public frustration with several things, one of which is the Fed's failure to contain inflation before it reached the point where we are right now. And people have had a very difficult really the past year in terms of price increases. And even though the rate of inflation appears to be slowing a bit now, people's wages have not caught up to that. So on Powell's watch over the past year and a half, everyone has had a significant deterioration in their standard of living, in inflation-adjusted terms. They should be annoyed about that, and he should be unpopular as a result of that because that was a major mistake. And then he also has struggled to explain to people what he's going to do about it, other than some vague formulation that the answer to this has to be increasing unemployment, which only suggests that the public is going to get bad policy coming and going. On the front end of it, they have the inflation and the declining standard of living. And then on the back end of it, he's going to solve that problem by creating more unemployment. So from that perspective, this is a sign that he has a lot of work to do to convince the public that the pain-causing policies that he's implementing right now are, in fact, the right ones.
In your column, you observe that there is a worldwide credit crunch and that credit crunch has come home to the U.S., perhaps a little behind where it is overseas, but it's here. Is that the Federal Reserve's job to deal with that fact, or is that a product of their avoiding dealing with it?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when I was sitting down to write the column last week, I thought it was really important to talk about this international component precisely because the Fed does not think that that's the Fed's job. And so if you listen to Chairman Powell's press conferences after every policy setting meeting that the Fed has, he almost never mentions the international economic situation or the exchange rate between the dollar and any other currency or anything of the like. And yet this is such an important part of the picture, and the Fed's policies have such a profound impact on that. And one impact we've seen is all last year, the Fed was raising interest rates, saying that it wanted to tighten credit in the U.S. as a way of trying to cool the American economy and suppress inflation that way. Now there seems to be some evidence that he didn't succeed in doing that in the U.S. during 2022, but the Fed may have helped to cause a credit contraction in the rest of the world, and particularly in developing economies, because you saw a really significant contraction in credit, especially dollar credit, everywhere else in the world. I mean, some of the scale of the contraction, we're talking about 4% in global dollar credit over the course of a year, which is the steepest contraction since 2009, which would tend to suggest that, that something is going on there. And that matters. You know, the Fed causes that by raising interest rates domestically in the U.S. and also by triggering an appreciation of the U.S. dollar, which you know, creates problems for dollar borrowers overseas. Basically, the Fed whipsawing between very accommodative policy and then more restrictive policy, creating a lot of problems in the global economy. One symptom of that is this credit contraction that they've caused. And we should worry that that's going to catch up with the U.S. economy, because the U.S. is the world's largest economy, but it is not an island. And we are affected by things that happen in other parts of the world.
You observe there's some politics in all of these debates. Vivek Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis have both said that they're unhappy with the Federal Reserve's conduct. Unhappy how? And is this about those twin metrics that the Fed carries around like a talisman, dollar stability and employment? Is that a problem, Joe?
Well, what's interesting is that Republicans seem to be you know, groping their way toward a conclusion that actually the Fed could be a good political issue for them. And inflation specifically, and all of the Fed's policy failures that contributed to the inflation and now might be creating, you know, the banking problems that we've seen over the past couple months. So both Ron DeSantis, who has not yet formally announced that he's running, and Vivek Ramaswamy, who has announced that he's running in the Republican contest, are starting to talk about the Fed. And what's interesting about Ramaswamy particularly is that he is focusing on dollar stability, which is different from the way that the Fed usually talks about its mandate is price stability and full employment, because Ramaswamy is saying actually we need a stable dollar. And that would seem to suggest that the Fed should be aspiring for more stable exchange rates, and should focus less on the consumer price index or personal consumption expenditure inflation, which are the Fed's current targets, and should look at something like a basket of commodities that would give you a clearer sense in the here and now of what a dollar is worth, as opposed to these inflation measures they use, which tend to be very backward looking. But the key point here is that I think that both DeSantis and Ramaswamy, and hopefully other Republican candidates as time goes on, are going to start a public debate about this, because clearly the public is very unhappy about the inflation. You know, certainly if we do end up in a recession later this year, that's going to be a big political issue. And I think that the public is entitled to a vigorous debate about all of the policies that have contributed to that, not just the taxing and spending, but also the bad monetary policies.
The 40-year high inflation, do we deserve an explanation from the Fed about their errors? Because I know it's been referenced, but I don't believe there's been a national address and an apology and a resignation because of that issue.
Yeah, that sound you hear is deafening silence from the Fed about exactly what they think has gone wrong and how we ended up in the situation. Remember the transitory days, that whole year when inflation was accelerating and we were told that the inflation was transitory? And then Chairman Powell announced that it was time to retire that word, was the phrase that he used. But that was just a concession that the inflation was no longer transitory. They've never really offered any kind of explanation, let alone an apology, for why they were wrong about the transitory inflation, why they missed the fact that it was not transitory. And they also have never really explained, let alone apologized for whatever role their policies might have played in the fact that the inflation was not transitory. So they still talk about this as if they are trying to manage the persistent consequences of the war in Ukraine and the energy markets and supply chain problems. But there's no sense from them that what they're actually doing is playing catch up, trying to manage the bad consequences of their own mistaken policies. And I think until they do that, it's also going to be very difficult for them to regain any kind of public trust or credibility.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics, and we're going to London. Well, actually, the UK next, because the people have gone to the polls in local election. And boy, is there a message. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.